and Heather Hug. Becky is a doctoral candidate in health education at the University of Toledo. Becky is also the missions program manager at the Northwest Ohio affiliate of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure and a part-time instructor at the University of Toledo. Heather is a doctoral student in health education at the University of Toledo and is a full-time associate lecturer in the kinesiology department at the University of Toledo. Together, they are working to address the breast health disparities within the LGBT population in Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan.
Good afternoon, and thank you for being with us today. Objectives for our talk are to identify attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors towards breast health within the lesbian and bisexual population, and describe four public health interventions that might be considered in addressing breast health. Becky and I have no relations to disclose. So again, our purpose was to get insight into the attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors of the LGBT individuals about breast health, particularly in Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan. Why this population? Literature reveals that 20 to 30% of lesbians do not have health insurance, knowing that breast cancer, if detected early enough, can be dealt with and prevented. So that was important to us. And our study, I'll talk about a little bit, kind of confirmed these numbers. Close to half are not out to their provider, therefore may not be aware of the risk factors associated with breast cancer. And lesbians, when compared to their heterosexual counterparts, express higher rates of risk factors associated with breast cancer, such as fewer pregnancies, higher substance abuse, and fewer utilization of prevention measures such as self-breast exams. Since there is not a ton of research being published about the LGBT breast health, we decided to conduct focus groups to gain a further insight into the population. So we conducted two focus groups with a total of 15 participants with an average age of approximately 49. Transcribing, coding this information, we found apparent common themes. For example, the LGBTQ population tend to associate the word breast health with breast cancer. When asked what prevents breast cancer, a regular mammogram was the most mentioned prevention measure. Advantages to getting a mammogram were peace of mind and early detection. Disadvantages to getting a mammogram was anxiety, which is related to mostly insurance coverage, waiting for the results, and possibly hearing something might be wrong. Support for getting a mammogram included a physician recommendation as well as partner or significant other's opinion on the matter. Perceived barriers included cost, knowledge of available resources, and time for scheduling and actually attending the appointment. So with this information, we developed a 50-item survey around the theory of planned behavior and the health belief model. We did a convenience intercept at Toledo Pride in 2011 where participants were approached by trained data collectors and asked to fill out the survey. So 237 participants completed the survey with 205 self-identifying their orientation as lesbian or bisexual. So the graph represents the breakdown of demographics, first by those that are below the age of 40, which is the recommended age, and then those that are at 40 and above. It's interesting to note the striking differences within the education, income, insurance, and whether they actually had a primary health care provider. For example, if you remember, the literature showed that 20 to 30% of the lesbian population is uninsured. Seems to be true for 18 to 39-year-olds meeting that, however, not for the 40 and older. So that was something that was extremely interesting that we pulled from the demographics. So now Becky's going to look further into our results.
Musical chair there. Hi.
As we delve deeper into the data, the first graph up here that you will see is the attitude, intention, and behavior for those individuals that participate in the study that were between the ages of 18 and 39. And it's important that we broke these out from our survey data because our focus groups, as you remember, were mainly 41 and over. So we formulated our questions from their responses in the focus group. So we didn't want to lose the data from those that were 18 to 39, but we also wanted to make sure that we were focusing on the age range that we performed our focus group in. So you'll see them broke out here just for convenience because there is some important information that we don't want to get lost with that younger age group. So for 18 to 39, you can see that their attitude towards a self-breast exam and a clinical breast exam was beneficial when they had fairly high percentages. But as you go down the line and look at their intention to perform a monthly self-breast exam, that percentage dropped to 47%. And then when you look at their actual behavior of doing the self-breast exam, it decreased further. And then following the recommended guidelines for a clinical breast exam, you see the same pattern. Attitude towards it, it's beneficial for them. It would help them detect cancer early. But their intention to do it was decreased along with their behavior. Now, we did not include the mammogram section on here because we know we should begin mammograms starting at age 40, according to some guidelines say 50. But just so that you know, with the mammogram component, 70.2% said a mammogram would be beneficial for them, followed by their intention to actually have one done decreasing to 31%, and then their behavior towards it at 25%. So as we look at this mind frame and taking aware of the education that can occur, it might have to have a different messaging for women that are 39 and under versus those that are 40 and older. So when we looked at the 40 years and older, our attitudes towards it, these activities as being beneficial were in the 80%, which is higher than the previous slide. But their intent dropped. But then their behavior also dropped further. The only one that dropped significantly more was the monthly self-breast exams, but actually their attitude is beneficial related to their behavior. You can see for the clinical breast exam and for the mammogram in the past 2 years was higher than their intent. Furthermore, if we looked at their perceived barriers, and these are items that were found during the focus group. So as we performed our focus group and we went through that qualitative analysis, these are the items that came up as potential barriers that they had in maintaining their breast health. So having transportation, doing a monthly breast self-exam, having health insurance, physician understanding of LGBT health issues, and getting a physician recommendation. These are all, the percentage are based on those that answered that this was completely out of their control. They had no control over these barriers. And fairly low percentages, but you can see that the 18 to 39-year-olds definitely had more perceptions of having no control over some of these issues. Now, when you look at the monthly self-breast exam, the previous slide, they're doing the behavior for 39 and under was at 42%, and then 59% for the 40 and plus for the self-breast exam. And then when you look at the health insurance, we had those that were 18 to 39. Oops, sorry, I lost my. Was 70.2%, meaning that their annual income was less than $29,000. So if you have an annual income less than $29,000, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to have private health insurance, and sometimes public health insurance is not available for that age range. So insurance can become a barrier to maintaining their breast health. And then getting a physician recommended mammogram is out of my control. When you looked at those that were 18 to 39, approximately 1 in 4 did not have access to insurance. So that can also be an issue if they need a mammogram to seek out that.
Some of the subjective norms we looked at, and these are opinions of important people and the motivation to perform the behavior. From our focus group, we found that physicians and significant others would motivate them to receive a mammogram or do the clinical breast exam or the monthly self-breast exam. However, when we had our survey completed, we found that most people, 18 to 39, they said most people that they know get their recommended mammogram was about 22.5%. And you can see for 40 and older, it was 24. However, when it was very likely that they would approve of them getting a mammogram, the percentages went higher. And then my physician approved of me getting a mammogram, fairly high percentages, especially for the full 40 and older at 92.6%. But when you look at them complying with what their physician thinks as far as getting a mammogram, that percentage drops to 66.7%. In addition, we asked my significant other thinks I should get a mammogram. For the 40 and older, it was 75.9%, but them actually doing the behavior because their significant other thinks they should do it, it was significantly less. So what happened was, we found from this data, was those that have the most influence on someone actually performing and getting a mammogram end up being the people they hang around with, followed by their physician, then their significant other. Self-efficacy, and this was their confidence in being able to achieve these types of actions based upon their ability to find transportation, perform a monthly breast exam, healthcare service, discuss issues, and get a mammogram. You can see that finding transportation was fairly high, that they felt that they could navigate that issue if it was a need. Slide malfunction. Okay. There we go. Now I'll go back. There we go. That's not it either. Where'd it go? I'm sorry, I must be going the wrong way. Let me hit enter. One more?
No, I'll go back one.
I'm not technology savvy here. Sorry about that. So as you can see, there is some difference between the two age groups and getting the resources and their confidence of obtaining those resources for their breast health. As far as control on what's important for them, as you can see, for the 18 and 39, having health insurance was the most important to them in order to receive breast health services, followed by being able to pay for a mammogram. Those that were 40 and older, their most important was the health insurance, followed by having a physician that understands LGBT health issues. We also asked them from our focus group of what may decrease some of those barriers that they are receiving in maintaining their breast health services. So we asked about a mammogram service, and if it actually came to them at an event or a place where they worked, would that help them in maintaining their breast health? And as you can see, for 18 and 39-year-olds, that was actually a higher percentage than those that were 40 and older. If they had health insurance, that would be important for them to maintain their breast health, as long as, and along with being listed on their partner's health insurance and having a physician and a referral system, that would be important. In our area, there is not a referral system that recognizes LGBT-friendly physicians. So our limitations is that this was a cross-sectional study. We did this at the Pride event. We did a four-hour time block from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. on a Saturday in August. We had a fairly small sample size when we were looking at the 40 and older with only 54. We have self-reported data, and we weren't able to check that self-reported data against their actual medical records to see the consistency. Socially desirable responses. It was a festival, a fun event. We're asking them to fill out a four-page survey when they would rather be having fun, which, you know, who wants to sit down and fill this out in front of everybody else? And we have some that were helping each other fill the survey out if they might not have understood some of the terminology. And then convenience sample in that we only targeted those that were at the event. So if they weren't going out to those types of events, they weren't able to participate in the study. So some of the implications is further breast health research within the LGBT population, especially relating to what would motivate them to maintain their breast health, with self-breast exams, clinical breast exams, and mammograms. Breast health awareness educational messaging that is age and sexual orientation specific. So those that are under the age of 39 should have a different messaging than those that are over 40. A physician continuing education and a navigation system that would assist individuals in finding a medical provider that would be sensitive to their needs and could assist them with their questions. And then we currently have a program going on called Partners for Health Equity. This year they did mobile mammograms at Pride, and then they're doing self-breast awareness outreach to businesses, events, and social gatherings using an interactive question and answer format and seeing if that will make an impact. And our goal is that next year we'll actually do the survey again at Pride event and then be able to compare and contrast if that education has made a difference. And these are our additional collaborators. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.